Moncrief on News Talk.
Ryan Holiday is a best-selling author and a hugely popular podcaster, but perhaps unusually for someone in that line of work, a lot of what he talks about is a philosophy that's about 2,500 years old. Ryan is a Stoic and will be in the Dublin Convention Centre on November the 15th. Afternoon, Ryan.
Hi, thanks for having me. So
could you define what you mean by Stoicism?
Stoicism is an ancient philosophy that comes to us from Greece and Rome, but it's really this idea that we have to focus on what we control. We don't control other people. We don't control the world around us, but we control how we respond. And basically, Stoicism says we should respond with virtue.
And by virtue, people would have different definitions of what virtue means.
Sure. Yeah, the Stoic virtues are should be familiar to you guys in Ireland. Courage, discipline, justice, and wisdom. These are the cardinal virtues. Stoicism and Christianity both share them. But it's this idea that again, we control what we do. We control our thoughts, our opinions, our actions. We don't control whether people appreciate them, whether they understand them, whether they agree with them. But we control who we are in the world. And that's what we should be focused on.
Mm. So are you saying it's like you can't really, or only to the most limited extent, can you control events around yourself? The only thing you can really control is your reaction to those events.
Yeah, we control mostly how we interpret and view these events. There's a line from Epictetus, one of the great Stoic philosophers. He says, you know, it's not things that upset us; it's our opinion about things. So what somebody says, that's objective, right? We say, oh, that's rude. Oh, that damaged my reputation. Oh, that's offensive. And so really Stoicism is trying to kind of step out, be as objective as possible. You know, people obviously think in English that Stoic means, you know, has no emotions. I wouldn't say that the Stoics were emotionless, but they did try to be less emotional because oftentimes our emotions are about our interpretation of things as opposed to what they actually are.
Mm. So that would seem to imply that Stoicism means taking a step back from the world, being less invested in it.
I think the Stoics do try to take a step back, but not from the world. So I would agree that if you are to be engaged in the world, if you're going to enter politics, if you're going to be a parent, if you're going to try to run a business, what you need is that ability to step back so you can see things as they are, so that then you can take a step forward and be engaged, be active, but not be at the mercy of, you know, our initial impressions, be at the mercy of, you know, high emotions. What you want to be is calm. You want to be as focused. And this allows you to be more effective.
Yeah. Though, yeah. If you have a child and the child breaks its leg, yes. Does that mean you have to step back from that in an emotional sense, not show you're upset by that? Therefore, your partner, the child's mother, saying, you're just standing there looking at the child. Okay, you've got the ambulance and you've sorted all that out, but you don't seem to care.
No, I don't think that at all. Look, the Stoics had children. The Stoics loved their children. I have children. I love my children. But I think you raise a good point. Look, your child falls and breaks their leg. You can freak out. You can get very upset. You can try to what happened? Why did this happen? What were you thinking? Or as you said, you can call the ambulance and you can comfort them and you can take care of them. And then, you know, when you get home, you can focus on how do we make sure this doesn't happen again? So in any given situation, there's a number of things you can do that make it better. Very rarely, I would say, does getting upset have anything to do with that. I think we often indulge our emotions, our opinions about these things, and we tell ourselves we're making it better, but it doesn't. Look, I'll give you a great example. Travel is this for me. I tend to be anxious. I'm going to be flying to Dublin in November. Me sitting there pacing nervously, is the plane going to be delayed? They said it was only going to be 10 more minutes. When are we going to board? None of this has any impact over when and how the plane ultimately takes off. I have to accept, and there's a big part of Stoicism that's about acceptance. Mm. I have to accept that I am a passenger on this ride, as we all are in life. And so it's not passive in the face of the situations we do have some say and influence over. But when we don't, it is stepping back and allowing things to happen.
Yes. Though at the same time, we are emotional creatures. We have an emotional life. So is Stoicism the eradication of those emotions? Or the back to my example of the child with the broken leg, once you've got the ambulance, once they're plastered up, once you've got them home and they're asleep, maybe then you can burst into tears or drink half a bottle of brandy. But there would probably be, if you're emotionally invested in the child at all, you will need to release that emotion at some point, would you not?
Well, I don't know about drinking the half a bottle of brandy, what that's doing for anyone's emotions.
Don't be judgy here, Ryan. Don't be judgy.
I get your point. Seneca, one of the great Stoics, he says, you know, no amount of philosophy is going to take away natural feeling. Of course, we're going to have emotions. We're going to have reactions. And stuffing them down, pretending they don't exist, that's not helpful to anyone. But, you know, Seneca writes a number of very moving essays on grief, about processing, you know, the love that we feel for someone who has gone. But they, you know, if 3 years later you still can't get out of bed because, you know, you're mourning someone, that's probably taking it too far. So Stoicism to me is about the processing of those emotions, understanding them, but not letting them necessarily rule and dominate our decisions and our actions. I would make a distinction, for instance, between feeling anger and doing something out of anger. And so to me, Stoicism is that. Is the transition from I am feeling this because of, and that's why I am going to punch this person in the face.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, well, then under Stoicism, could one achieve a perfectly rational process and go, here's why I'm going to punch this person in the face. I'm completely in control of my emotions, and it's the most logical thing to do.
Well, look, the Stoic virtue of justice, I think the justice system, someone commits a crime, someone does something heinous and hurtful. There is a time after, you know, those extreme emotions have passed where we don't feel it as strongly. And yet we still understand that in a civil society, in a world of laws, a person has to be accountable for their actions. So I think Stoicism is the idea of not doing the thing in the moment as you are consumed with anger or rage. Seneca writes another very fascinating essay on anger, and it's mostly aimed at leaders. And he's saying no one is for no one is it more important to get control of your temper than in a person who is in a position of responsibility, because someone other than you bears the consequences of, you know, that losing of one's temper.
And we see many leaders around the world, some of them perhaps in your country, who would be more victim to their base passions, let's say.
I don't know who you could possibly be talking about.
Yeah, that might be a worry to a Stoic.
Well, yeah, look, the Stoics would say that Donald Trump is temperamentally unfit in every imaginable way to hold the highest office. And the Stoics advised emperors, they advised generals, they are in the thick of political life for several hundred years in Greece and Rome. And the idea that the Stoics say that the greatest empire is command of oneself. Seneca says no one is fit to rule who is not first master of themselves. And in that way, Donald Trump is eminently unqualified to be president. And again, almost every imaginable way, because as Hillary Clinton said in that first debate, someone you can bait with a tweet should not have their finger on the button of the most powerful nuclear arsenal in the world.
Yeah, he did offer you a job, though.
He did. Not him personally, but yeah. I was offered a spot in the administration, which, you know, again, I think is an interesting Stoic dilemma. The Stoics felt like one should be engaged in politics, and they did serve and work in imperfect regimes, to say the least. Seneca is in Nero's administration. And even in modern times, General James Mattis, who was a 4-star general in the Marines and then Secretary of Defense under Trump, has carried Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, one of the Stoic philosophers, with him on 40 years of deployments. General H.R. McMaster, who is Trump's national security advisor, talks a bunch about Stoicism and how it helped him during his time as national security advisor. It wasn't the right fit for me for a number of ethical and personal reasons, but...
The list of people who worked for Donald Trump and then realized it was a bad idea, we could exhaust the rest of our time together talking about that.
It did not end well for anyone.
But it is an interesting... because, as you say, a Stoic would say, no, you should be involved in politics, even if it's... And it's never going to be perfect, whatever those set of circumstances are. But is it always up to the individual then, if they're working within civil society, if they're hoping to make some sort of positive contribution, to decide when I've reached the point where that's not happening now?
Yeah, this is a dilemma not just in Stoicism. Confucius is an advisor to a number of princes and kings in ancient China, and he talks about, you know, which ones do you serve and which ones do you don't? It's a tricky thing. And I certainly am much more sympathetic to military officers who there is a long tradition and culture around sort of serving any administration in a nonpartisan way. For me, I just found the entire concept to be unconscionable. And I felt like my study of history made it quite clear to me where that was inevitably going to end up. And then also, you know, I do think there was a fatalism to the Stoics. Marcus Aurelius becomes emperor and it's not a job he sought or wanted. And I always thought it interesting that it never seems to occur to him that he didn't have to do it. Mm. And so I think we each have one life and we have to decide how we're going to spend it.
Could that be right that in the era we live in now, we probably have more agency and a more subjective morality almost than they would have had 2,500 years ago? Those Stoics believed in a natural order and therefore they had a template to apply things to, which not everybody does have that belief in a natural order.
In a way that made things simpler, and we should be sympathetic to the fact that here today we are just faced with simply more choices as a result of the progress we've made as a society. I'll give you a really great example. Epictetus, who's, as I said, one of the great Stoic philosophers, is born a slave, and he spends the first 30 years of his life in slavery. And Stoicism obviously helps him in this. How do you deal with the fact that this grave injustice has been done on you and you can't control it, you can't do anything about it? But it is interesting, nowhere in his writings does he ever seem to question the legitimacy of the institution itself, right? He's oriented towards how do I survive it? How do I endure it? How do I not let it break me? And then when he eventually does find his freedom, there doesn't seem to be anything in his writings about imagining a world or an ordering of society which does not subject the lowest among us to backbreaking, soul-crushing slavery. Mm. And I do think that's because in the ancient world, hierarchy and caste were so ossified and taken for granted that it was inconceivable that someone would get to choose what profession they had or where they lived or what their station in society is. And it's wonderful that we have that. It's just we should also understand that faces each of us with an exhausting and sometimes overwhelming amount of choices.
Yeah. Though, by the same token, does that mean that if you're a woman living in Afghanistan and you're not allowed to leave your house, Stoicism probably isn't the philosophy for you if you want to change things?
I there is a certain amount of Stoicism that is about making the best of a bad situation and focusing on, sort of the unchangeable reality.